this morning, I thought, can I cheat? And I decided that I probably could. The burning bush. Everybody wants a burning bush experience. You know, we think, oh, well, if only I could see the aspidistra burst into flames and not be consumed, then I would know that was God speaking to me. Or a Damascus Road experience, so that we could just be absolutely certain it was God that was speaking to us. We actually saw Jesus himself. He was definitely there. Or a Thomas experience, where he eventually understood what he'd been told. So I thought, well, let's look at Moses, his significance to the people that the New Testament Christians would understand Moses to be, and then contrast that with Jesus. Okay, so forgive me if I've rubbished your brief. Not really, because we're looking at Moses. Moses was Israel's greatest hero. You can't imagine how important Moses was to the Israelites. He was regarded from birth right through to his burial. His life is one of protection, provision, and power. At his birth, he was protected. As he was released onto the River Nile, where he should have been consumed by all the crocodiles, he was rescued. His mother was brought in as his wet nurse. He grew up in a palace. He identified with the nation that he actually belonged to and killed somebody and had to flee at the age of about 40. And he spent 40 years in the wilderness. And while in the wilderness, he learned very many lessons from the sheep. You don't herd sheep. In those times, the sheep followed the shepherd. They didn't run away from him. And he learned how to be a good shepherd, providing for his sheep. And though Moses experienced some failures in his life, he nevertheless enjoyed a wonderful and intimate experience of the presence of God. The Bible declares, "And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." Moses saw firsthand some of the greatest miracles of the Old Testament. He was the man who was used of God to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He spent 40 days and 40 nights actually in the presence of God on the mountain. He saw and experienced the glory of God to the point that the skin of his face shone, Exodus 34. He was the man who delivered the law of God to Israel. And in all of the history of Israel, there was no person more admired or respected than Moses. It's difficult for anyone unfamiliar with the Jewish history to appreciate the awesome reverence that was accorded to Moses by the nation. And it's particularly difficult today with the limited attention afforded to the background history of the Old Testament and the impact that this has on our understanding of what we read in the New Testament. Very often, to understand the New Testament, we have to have an understanding of things that have occurred in the Old Testament. Nothing emphasizes that more than here when we look into the book of Hebrews, where Jesus is contrasted with everything that the Jews held to be so significant. But let's have a look at Moses, because he truly was an exceptional individual. He was revered as the greatest of all Hebrews. In fact, the greatest man of history at the time when we're talking about when the book of Hebrews was written. There was nobody who was more significant. And we need to understand that first if we're going to have any appreciation of what the Holy Spirit has for us as a message in Hebrews 3. So firstly, Moses was divinely chosen. He had an epic task entrusted to him, and God chose him specifically for that task. In your Bible study this next week, as you look at what happened with Moses, you'll see that God put his hand on Moses. Yes, it was a burning bush, but you'll not have one of them. That was Moses' privilege, just as it was Paul's privilege to have a burning light on the Damascus Road. My moment of understanding was when two elders from a Baptist church pinned me against a wall after I'd given my testimony. It became very apparent that what I'd been ignoring, God's call on my life, was real, as it was confirmed by those two revered gentlemen. Now, whatever it is for you that God has touched your life with and confirmed that he has a hand on your life, that's your burning bush. That's your Damascus Road. It's your calling. And it's for you to understand that you need to do something with it. When Moses saw the burning bush, he made every excuse possible not to step out with God. Don't do that, because all you do is waste time. And whenever you argue with God, you lose. So Moses was divinely chosen for his epic task. His life was miraculously preserved. It was nurtured from birth when, under the sentence of death, as all young male children were, he was plucked from the bulrushes by Pharaoh's daughter. He was given a noble upbringing. He had his real mother attending as a nursemaid. And then, as a man, his election as deliverer was sealed when God said, "I am." And Moses understood. He was called and ordained from the burning bush. Secondly, Moses became the incomparable deliverer. The people were delivered through Moses' obedience and actions, through an unparalleled display of power. Exodus 7 through 12 tells us that the Nile turned to blood. Successive plagues of frogs and gnats and flies swarmed all over Egypt. Hail and boils afflicted men and beast. And on the dark night of Passover, all the firstborn of men and beast who were not under the blood perished. With his staff, Moses parted the Red Sea, and the people passed through on dry land. And with his staff, he smote the rock, and all Israel drank. Delivering power radiated from Moses' life. And thirdly, he served as as Israel's greatest prophet. God communicated to other prophets indirectly through various means, but he communicated directly to Moses, as God himself explained in Numbers chapter 12. They're not moving on, sadly. So let's catch up. Divinely chosen, incomparably delivered, Israel's greatest prophet. Ta-da! We read, "When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He's faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord." This is in fact how it was when Moses received the Ten Commandments, at which time he was exposed to God, who so profoundly influenced him and affected him that his face retained a wonderful radiance. He was second only to unfallen Adam in intimacy with God. He was an incredible prophet. Fourthly, Moses was the lawgiver. To the Jew, the law was the greatest thing in all the world. Moses was the conduit for the Ten Commandments, the Levitical laws, the sacrificial system, and the tabernacle. And everything in their religion recalled his name, for it all became known as the law of Moses. Then he was also Israel's great historian, because under divine inspiration he authored the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. And then sixthly, he was described as more humble than anyone else. Anyone else on the face of the earth. Quite a remarkable individual. He was the greatest. But it hadn't gone to his head. Why? Well, because his head had been permanently sized, if you like, on the backside of the desert during the second 40 years of his life. However great he might have thought himself when he was in Egypt, 40 years in the desert, living in a tent, having to find water constantly, looking after a flock of sheep, 40 years doing that, I would imagine, would mellow any person. I can't imagine what it would do to me. But anyway, Moses was God's man for God's plan in God's time. Moses heard the call on his life and he followed through. And then we have Jesus. How does Moses compare to Jesus? Well, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, gives us some insight. We've had the reading. I'm going to leave it up there, and we're going to work our way through it, just so that you can see how difficult it was for those Hebrew Christians who had grown up revering Moses, understanding how great this man had been, the significance that he had for all of their life, because their life was revolved as a Jew around the law of Moses. And then Jesus came. Now they've embraced Jesus. They've accepted him as Lord. But things are getting a bit tough. In Hebrews chapter 1, we see that Christ is better than the prophets. In Hebrews chapter 2, Jesus is presented as better than the angels. And now in Hebrews chapter 3, Christ is seen as better than Moses. The Jews addressed in the book of Hebrews have all been tempted to turn back to what they used to know. They've become afraid because embracing Christ has also brought persecution, which they were to a great extent protected from as Jews in the Roman Empire. Jews were tolerated. By this time, Christians are not. They're the new whipping boy. The book of Hebrews is intended to reset their perception and refocus their understanding. The Apostle John in the book of Revelation speaks to the Ephesians and says to them that they are to rediscover their first love. This, if you like, is a similar encouragement. They've forgotten their calling because they've lost sight of who it was that called them. Moses was able to do what he did because he never lost sight of who it was who had called them. And having been called by Jesus to embrace him as Lord, they've kind of just turned aside a little bit and lost sight of who he is. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, if you think that Moses shone, let me tell you, Jesus is so much more. Jesus is like the sun itself, and Moses is only a reflection. Think about the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James and John were up the mountain, and Jesus was suddenly transfigured before them. And Moses appeared, and Elijah appeared, and Peter didn't know what to do. But Jesus was presented before them, and it's suggested with the language that's used in the passage that it was actually the Shekinah of God, the very light of the presence that was in the Holy of Holies that illuminated the space where the high priest went in once a year. It was that bright. It was his whole body that shone, not just his face. In chapter 3 and verse 1, the opening word links this chapter with the preceding chapter. The therefore tells us that not only is Christ superior to the prophets and the angels, he's also superior to Moses. Verse 2 tells us that Jesus is a faithful representative who does his job, just as Moses did. Both Jesus and Moses were faithful. The first two verses show a similarity between Jesus and Moses, and verse 3 presents a contrast between them. God had chosen to give greater honour to Jesus than to Moses. Why? Well, because the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. The house describes the people of God, either of the church for the New Testament, or the people of Israel for the Old Testament. Christ was the builder of the house. Moses had an important role in God's plan, but he was only a part of the house. Moses was a person through whom God spoke, but Christ was the founder and heir of the whole household. Jews and Christians alike recognize the greatness of Moses, the lawgiver. How much more should they honor Christ, who was the author of the law that was received? Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it and succeeded. Hebrews deals with people who gave excessive respect to Moses for his role in giving the law. No matter how important Moses was, God was still the lawgiver. God was the builder of everything, in that he had established a new spiritual community with Christ as the head. We read in Corinthians, don't we, that Christ is the head of the body. The word everything may also refer to God's material creation, as well as to the church. God's role is exalted to show the greatness of the glory of Jesus. The God of such might and power appointed Jesus to the important office of apostle and priest. Verse 5 tells us that we find another argument to show the superior position of Christ over Moses. A son and a servant. Moses was a servant. His field of service was in all God's house. He worked among God's people, Israel. His task was to testify of what was to follow. He pointed toward things which Christ would declare more clearly and complete. Through Christ, God would give a clearer revelation than Moses had given. Some Jewish Christians saw Jesus as a second Moses. Next verse, verse 6, proves that Jesus was far greater than a second Moses. Two features make Jesus superior to Moses in verse 6. First, he was a son, not a servant, a position clearly worthy of more glory than Moses the servant. Sonship carried greater responsibility. And second, Jesus stood over God's house. Moses was in all of God's house, but Jesus stood in authority over it. One who stood over something was superior to one who stood in it. And finally, you are God's house. But only if you endure in your commitment. You can't return to Moses and ignore Jesus. You need to hold fast to the confidence and hope with which you started. We prove the genuineness of our profession of faith by our endurance in Christian commitment. The incentive is to see Jesus for who he is, until Jesus came, not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Moses, Israel's greatest historian. Jesus, history is his story. Moses, more humble than anyone else. Jesus, who didn't consider being God, too great to be humbled to come and die on a cross. When you think of Moses, he was a great man. When you think of Jesus, it's a bit like the reading we had right at the very beginning about the speck and the log. Moses is like the speck. Jesus is the log. So much greater than what we sometimes get ourselves caught up with. When you think of Jesus, he is greater than anything you can imagine. More wonderful to know than anyone you can ever meet. And able to stand with you through any and every trial. Even death itself, he'll be there for you. Amen.